This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
This encore broadcast of Intelligent Medicine originally aired on October 5th.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's a weekly program about everything that pertains to your health. We call it Intelligent Medicine because we combine the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We review all the important news stories of the week for you in hopefully an entertaining and digestible form. 877-726-8255 is our number. Lots of big stories this week. Bernie Sanders' apparent heart attack, as well as a couple of very interesting reversals. A story that suggests that red meat may not be all that bad for you. Well, if you're confused, how about this story? Fish oil supplements, recently maligned as being worthless, turn out to actually be beneficial for heart disease protection. 877-726-8255. We're going to examine those stories momentarily, do a deep dive on some of the issues that are important to you and your family. But first, let's take a live caller. Mike from Philadelphia, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Great. So I've read, of course, that, you know, sugar spikes is particularly bad. You know, it can affect on inflammation and other parts of your body. And I also have read that, you know, sugar in the presence of fat is bad. So from a real world perspective, and please don't answer both or neither, what's worse, like water ice, which is pure sugar, or like Häagen-Dazs ice cream, which has a boatload of fat, which would slow the absorption of the sugar and mute the spike in sugar? What would you pick if you had to choose?
Okay, and that's a great question. So you're restricting my answer to I can't say, oh, both are bad. You know, which, you know, obviously to some extent, I mean, I think you'll acknowledge, that, you can get trouble with a very low fat diet that's high in sugar. Let's stipulate that. You know, this is actually something that, I started to address around the time that Dr. Robert Atkins was in his ascendancy. And I had this to say about the Atkins diet. The Atkins diet was a little bit of a preview of, the current, trend towards high-fat, very low-carb diets, or ketogenic diets. And those diets can be very helpful because they really dwindle down carbohydrates to less than maybe 20 grams of carbohydrates a day, maybe even less. They put people into ketosis, and then people get into a fat-burning metabolism, which actually may help blood sugar control. It helps with weight loss. It's also been used for neurological diseases in kids, epilepsy responds to that. The ketogenic diet was the traditional diet that was used to treat type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes before the advent of insulin. That's how they kept these kids alive who had no pancreatic function at all. They just ate lots of fat, almost no carbs, and they survived. I mean, they didn't thrive, but it kept them going. But here's the problem with Atkins and with all those schemes, is it encourages people to consume very high fat foods. So things like pork rinds. Okay, yeah, bring them on. And oh, by the way, you know, here's this ice cream sundae. And I think I'm going to have that because, you know, after all, it is a high, it's very high fat. And yeah, it's got a little bit of sugar in it. But the problem is that even a small amount of added carbohydrates kindles the adverse effects of the fat. If you're going to be on a very high-fat diet, you need to be very disciplined and restrict your carbohydrates very drastically. And the way I analogized it is I said, you know, the Atkins diet is great for weight loss and controlling diabetes, reversing metabolic syndrome, and all that. But the analogy is possibly you can get the best shave from an ultra-sharp samurai sword. You know, if it's sharpened to a very, very fine edge, you can get a terrific shave from that samurai sword. But you have to know how to wield it. And if you're not careful, you can slit your neck and bleed to death. And similarly, high-fat diets, when combined with sugar, are the worst. In fact, that really epitomizes the standard American diet, the SAD, as it's sometimes referred to, because it is sad. It's a diet where we exalt things like Krispy Kreme donuts. And the latest nutritional outrage is KFC on a glazed donut bun. You know, so you got the high fat along with lots and lots of sugar, a big dollop of calories, and it hits you six ways from Sunday, inflames your arteries, increases your fat deposition, your fat stores, and you're off to the races towards cardiovascular disease, cancer, and whatnot. So, you know, good question. I think it's kind of a rhetorical question. I think you kind of know the answer. You're going to do a high-fat diet. You really need to restrict your sugar. So the answer is sugar alone, as pernicious as it is probably less bad than a combo of sugar and fat. So how's that for an answer?
Not what I was expecting.
No, really? Oh, okay. You thought. What's your reasoning behind that? Why did you say? Because you think that with this trend towards high-fat diets, that the fat mitigates the effects of the sugar, that it maybe slows its absorption or something along those lines? Is that your reasoning?
Well, no. My reasoning was that trying to keep the blood sugar spikes down. I thought that was worse. And you know, if I had fat with the sugar. And it muted, because I've actually worn a continuous glucose monitor before just for
fun
to see how it is.
Yeah, so you've done this as like kind of a research project. Yeah.
I did. And a Philadelphia cheesesteak kept me in the 130 range through the entire time, whereas a green smoothie spiked me to like 220. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, hey, you know, if I had a choice, you know, maybe that Philly cheesesteak isn't so bad after all.
I think the continuous glucose monitor tells you a lot about how you respond to the food, but it doesn't tell you the whole story. And it may be that other factors besides the actual spike in the glucose, and admittedly, Häagen-Dazs ice cream, you know, ultra-fat, high-fat Häagen-Dazs ice cream may have less of a glycemic load, in other words, the impact on your blood sugar, than, some table sugar, you know, because table sugar goes directly into your system, spikes your blood sugar. When you mix all the sugar that's in Häagen-Dazs ice cream with fat, it sort of time releases the fat, smooths down the glucose response curve, and therefore that's been cited as a mitigating factor for high-fat desserts. And indeed, you know, I kind of use that strategy because say I'm going to have some, like, a bunch of fruit. And what I'll do is I'll put some coconut, cream or some coconut, milk on it. And what that'll do is, yes, it will slow the metabolism of the sugar in that, dessert. But ultimately, you got to be careful with that formulation because it does provide, kind of moral licensure for people to consume, you know, ultra high calorie junk food that maybe doesn't hit your blood sugar as hard, but it's pro-inflammatory. It's extremely caloric. It'll make you gain weight, contribute to fatty liver and other problems. And, therefore, you know, I got to answer that the sugar plus fat is less desirable. All right. But hey, you didn't give me the choice. I got to pick one. Pick one of two. There's only one answer. No nuances permitted. Thank you for that great question, prompting a good discussion. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. In just a moment, we're going to dive into some of the really important stories of the week. Big reversals on meat consumption And fish oil, what's up with that? Stay with us. This is Intelligent Medicine.
This holiday season, the turkey isn't the only thing that gets stuffed. Everyone knows when we eat too much, gas and bloating are likely to follow. Even more trouble ensues when we combine too many rich foods high in fat and sugar. An antacid may bring a moment of relief, but there is a smarter idea. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Taken daily, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide optimum digestive support with enough of the good probiotic bacteria to help us digest rich holiday foods. And for sudden upper digestive distress, chew a capsule or two. The enzymes and postbiotic metabolites only found in Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a result of the 3-year fermentation process will help you feel better and improve your overall digestive health. This holiday season, discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself. You'll be glad you did. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics online, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers nationwide today.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Lots to talk about this weekend. 877-726-8255. If you want to get in on the conversation, the doctor's in. We'll take your calls. But amidst all the excitement over a major research group's vindication of meat last week. Yeah, big story. New York Times headline. Eat less red meat, scientists said. Now some believe that was bad advice. And we'll get into that story in just a minute. But as a result of all the hoopla around that story, news of another stunning reversal was eclipsed. And that has to do with the story about omega-3 fish oil supplements for cardiovascular protection. There was a story that came out this week. Omega-3 fish oil supplements linked with lower cardiovascular disease risk. Now, this is actually a big turnaround. They found that people who received omega-3 fish oil supplements in randomized clinical trials had lower risks of heart attacks and other cardiovascular disease events compared with those who were given placebos. Now, I am a veteran of the longstanding omega-3 wars. I was in med school in the 1980s when the story got around that Inuit Eskimos were virtually free of heart attacks. And that's in spite of, you know, they don't eat a lot of whole grains. They're not on a vegan diet. They don't have a lot of arugula up there in the frozen Arctic. They ate a diet high in animal protein, mostly from Arctic fish and marine mammals, rich in EPA and DHA. And that makes sense because fish oil has blood thinning effects. It prevents platelets from sticking together. It's anti-inflammatory, and that may reduce the driving factor for atherosclerosis. It may be more about inflammation than just high cholesterol, as we now tend to be obsessed with. Fish oil may be vasodilating. It may help to lower blood pressure and promote circulation. For sure, EPA lowers triglycerides, and triglycerides may be more important than cholesterol as part of the lipid equation for cardiovascular risk. And omega-3s may even have antiarrhythmic benefits. So it made sense mechanistically from a scientific standpoint. And so around 10 years ago, fish oil was in the ascendancy. A survey revealed that 72% of the nation's cardiologists recommended dietary supplements, including fish oil, And many of them, the majority of them, were taking fish oil for cardiovascular prevention. But then there was a bigger big turnaround that happened recently because several studies dampened enthusiasm over fish oil supplements. Just last year, there was a snarky headline in the Journal of the American Medical Association, quote, another nail in the coffin for fish oil supplements, because some studies said that they didn't work. And amidst this, a company called Amarin developed an ultra-concentrated EPA medication. It was designed for prescription only, and they demonstrated that if you took 4,000 milligrams a day, that's four capsules a day of their medication called VASEPA, a concentrated form of EPA, that you could lower the risk of cardiovascular disease by a whopping 25%. So what a crazy paradox. They're saying the fish oil supplements you get in the health food store don't do a darn thing. They're a waste of time. You folks out there who are taking fish oil for cardiovascular prevention are just a bunch of gullible idiots. But if you take the medication that's available by prescription, by the way, it costs $380 for 2 months supply. Now, you might get it by prescription, and you might just have to pay a copay because your insurance is picking up some of the cost. But they're saying that the drug works, but the fish oil doesn't work. So they re-examined this in a recent study, and what they found is by looking at – they simply just looked at more studies. They added 64%, a total of 127,500 participants. They managed to find a positive trend on fish oil. It was just a matter of statistical robustness. You know, small studies sometimes don't pick up trends. Larger studies actually reveal those trends. And what they have found is that fish oil actually did reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. Now, you might say, yeah, but the VASEPA, that supplement, that's much more concentrated, so you have to take a lot of fish oil capsules to get the equivalent effect. That may be true. Part of the problem with some of the previous studies, they just gave people one fish oil capsule per day. That may not do much. You may have to take three, four, up to six capsules a day of EPA, DHA to achieve the cardiovascular protection. But the researchers also commented that some of the studies showed that there was protection to be achieved at even lower doses, two or three capsules per day. And so this is a big vindication for fish oil supplements, which have been kind of marginalized. There's been a lot of pushback suggesting that only the drug works and fish oil supplements don't do a darn thing. It turns out they really do. So those of you who've been taking fish oil supplements for heart protection, you've not been in a fool's paradise. And oh, by the way, those supplements contain valuable DHA, which may have brain benefits and other health dividends. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255, for questions on today's Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. As always, I strive to provide you with the tools you need to make informed choices beyond the cookie-cutter care of today's healthcare system, and these new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Okay, another big reversal. By the way, our number 877-726-8255. If you want to weigh in on this story or any other story, you've got a health question, you got a problem you want me to work on, 877-726-8255, this hour or next. Oh, by the way, if perchance you're too busy to call Now, I didn't get it. You could be shopping, maybe some sports event, doing some chores where you can't get on the phone. Don't worry about it, because you can call 877-726-8255 any time, 24/7 during the week, and you can record a question. We'll take some of those recorded questions a little later in the program. 877-726-TALK. All right, headline. No need to cut down red and processed meat for health reasons, controversial findings suggest. And this was a huge story, and it generated a firestorm because, you know, I was at my 50th high school reunion a couple of weeks ago, and we wanted to keep the conversations cordial and light. So ground rules, whenever people, you know, started talking to me, I said three things. Let's not discuss politics, religion, or diet, please. We want to stay friends. We want to have a good time and not get embroiled in some of the real hot controversies of our time. So what's this about? This is very interesting because recently there have been a slew of studies that suggest that it's bad to eat red meat, and they have been linked to another important issue, which is the climate agenda. And so what they're saying is, yeah, there's some information that red meat is bad for you. And oh, by the way, even if we're wrong, it'll be good to reduce our intake of red meat because it's bad for the climate. Now, in my mind, there's a problem with that because you're mixing nutrition science with policy, a policy that has to do was something in a completely different realm, which is a meteorological realm. And also, there are some questions as to whether reducing meat production really will have a big impact on what's happening to the climate. Is it not possible to have sustainable agriculture, raising some animals, without big factory farms that are devastating the environment, that cause a lot of methane production, that cause global warming? And if we're going to combat global warming, isn't it more important to focus on fossil fuels, wasteful production of energy, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, that's a whole different thing. But when it comes to the science of what's good for humans to eat, what will keep humans optimally healthy, that should be a standalone proposition. If you don't want to eat red meat because you want to save the planet, fine. You want to make that commitment? Fine. That's an ideological commitment, but it's not based on the true science of what's good for humans to eat. If you want to avoid red meat because you don't want to kill animals or inflict cruelty on animals, that's another thing. You are an ethical vegetarian or ethical vegan. But let's look at the pure science here. That's what these researchers said. They reviewed 12 trials, which included 54,000 people. And what they concluded was that most of these trials were very weak in terms of showing any harms, not just of red meat consumption, but even of processed meat consumption. Now, I got a problem with processed meat because there's a lot of junk in processed meat. That you inadvertently consume a lot of additives, a lot of emulsifiers. There's meat glue, and there's preservatives, colorings, nitrites. These things have plausible adverse health effects. But the idea that lots and lots of saturated fat and cholesterol or too much animal protein causes people to get cancer or heart disease or strokes, it's been debunked. It's been debunked in a series of studies that have exonerated these components of our diet. And so this has generated a firestorm of protests. There are people who claim that this study should not have even been published, that it is a disservice because it's even been analogized, falsely in my opinion, to publishing a study saying that cigarettes, after all, they're not really that bad for you. Well, I think it's pretty conclusive that cigarettes dramatically increase your risk for cancer and heart disease. When you look at scientific studies, the effect is sometimes 10, 15, 20-fold when it comes to the risk of heart disease or cancer in smokers. But when it comes to diet studies, many of the supposed risks associated with red meat are statistically insignificant. They actually concede that maybe there's a slight risk to consumption of animal protein. And they're not even looking at people who eat clean, organic, grass-fed meat here. They're just looking at meat per se. No studies, or very few studies indeed, have been done looking at consumers of high-quality grass-fed meat without processed meat in their diets. Consumers like yours truly and many of my patients who consume red meat judiciously as part of a balanced diet with lots and lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, plenty of fiber. There's no study that suggests that including moderate amounts of red meat in a very healthy diet context are in any way harmful. This is very confusing to people because it's like, okay, make up your minds already. What's the ideal diet? It's very hard to provide overarching dietary guidelines for everybody in this country, much less everyone on the planet, because studies, observational studies, are very hard to interpret. It may be that, you know, people who consume some meat, also maybe they don't do as much yoga. They're more stressed. These days, people who consume more meat are poorer, and you can actually determine your risk of dying just by your zip code. If you live in an impoverished area, you're more likely to eat more in the way of fast food, processed meat. But your risk of dying is not because of what you eat. It's because you're highly stressed. You're economically challenged on a daily basis. You don't live in as clean an environment because people who live in Big Sur or Santa Fe or some of the garden spots of America where people go to retire and when they're affluent in clean, healthy environments, these are affluent parts of the country. And lots of people trend towards vegetarian or quasi-vegetarian plant-based diets when they have a lot of money so they can go to Whole Foods and buy organic arugula. So this is a finding that I think is going to not resolve a lot of things, but at least it's pushback against reports like Eat Lancet. Eat Lancet, big report by one of the world's biggest medical journals, The Lancet, which suggests that proposes that on a worldwide basis, also this is in agreement with UN guidelines, World Health Organization, that we should reduce our consumption of meat, but not just for health reasons, for environmental reasons. And there's a political agenda that we hitch to the wagon of what's optimal for human health. And that's really distorting the science of what's good for people to eat. And maybe that on a genetic basis, some people do better as vegetarians. We'll have to determine what genetic determinants can help us make the choice. It's called nutrigenomics, an emerging science. But at present time, we don't have the tools to tell people that they ought to avoid red meat. And I've been saying several recent articles I've written have looked at the sketchy reasoning behind avoiding red meat and how some of the suppositions that we cherish about the harmful effects of meat consumption really are kind of not well substantiated. 877-726-8255. Let me tell you about something that is well substantiated. And it has to do with the benefits of what you get when you put a lot of healthy vegetables in your diet. Nitric oxide. You heard me talk recently with Beth Shirley of Berkeley Life. Well, Berkeley Life nitric oxide support supplements may provide a vital solution to better heart health. This is real science. Each dose of Berkeley Life delivers the bioactive nutrients found in nitrate-rich plant-based diets to enhance our body's production of nitric oxide. Now, nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in our cardiovascular health, and it was brought to prominence when it was awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1998. Well, it wasn't awarded. The researchers were awarded for making the discovery that we all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally, requiring intervention through diet, lifestyle, or supplementation. And just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 5 ounces of spinach and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. It's only available from healthcare providers. So to get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide level safely and easily at home. Place to go for Berkeley Life professional supplements, drhoffmanstore.com for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. 877-726-8255. That's our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we're taking your phone calls, 877-726-8255 live, or hey, you can record a call, as did this caller. Let's hear from her.
I was calling to find out how I can lower my LDLP particle, which is in the 1,590 range, and also how to lower oxidized LDL. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, these days you can get your total cholesterol and you can get your HDL, and then you can get a number called LDL, the low-density lipoprotein, which used to be kind of a paint-by-numbers thing. If your LDL was above 130, you needed a statin. But that's kind of an unsophisticated way to analyze cardiovascular risk. So with some additional slicing and dicing, it's a little bit like Chinese boxes. You know, you can keep opening the Chinese boxes, and inside one box is another, and inside that box is even another one. And you can get subcategories of LDL. The idea being that there's good and bad LDL. The bad LDL particles are small. The good LDL particles are large and fluffy. The small ones are like little bullets that can attack your arterial wall. That's one way to remember. But there's also something called an LDLP, which is your overall number of particles. And that number is high. So You know, I wish I had this caller on to engage in some more questioning, because we could ask if the LDL pattern was pattern A or pattern B. Pattern A exonerates sometimes high LDL. The LDL that's high may be of a benign quality, as opposed to some LDL particle numbers that are lower, don't seem to pose much danger, but the quality of the particles is bad. That's pattern B. So these profiles you can obtain from your doctor. You can also find out how much of the LDL is oxidized. That's an important factor, because once LDL becomes oxidized, it becomes primed to attack your arterial walls. It's been damaged by free radicals. Its molecular configuration is changed, and it becomes a more aggressive instigator of cardiovascular disease. So without that information, you know, what are some of the causes of high LDL particle numbers? Well, one is genetic, you know, something that you may have from your genetic endowment, which predisposes to high LDL particle numbers. There is something called familial hypercholesterolemia, abbreviated FH, and that involves a mutation of a gene that codes for the LDL receptor. And that can be determined via some kind of genetic analysis. But you can, you know, can spot these people a mile away, because they're people who have cholesterol, you know, 350, 500, 600. You know, that's the very drastic elevation in their total cholesterol and also in their LDL. You know, can't really correct your genes. You can sort of mitigate the adverse effects of genetic predisposition to cardiovascular disease by exercising and staying in a good weight and eating a healthy diet and taking cardioprotective supplements, sometimes, if necessary, taking a statin. Insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, big drivers of high numbers of LDL particles. So these are driven by sugary diets, high glycemic index diets, lack of exercise. And of course, you know, there's a genetic component to risk of having insulin resistance. The so-called thrifty gene is going to make you more likely to be insulin resistant. Poor thyroid function, that's another reason that you could have, you know, your thyroid test may be a little borderline. Doctors are reluctant to give you medication, but you really might benefit from medication in terms of improving your lipid profile. You can also have leaky gut, which causes kind of a pro-inflammatory drive that causes your cholesterol to go up. Another thing that may sometimes cause cholesterol to go up is, you know, perhaps an autoimmune disease. I have some patients who have MS, multiple sclerosis, and a compensatory effort to, I don't know, maybe wall off or seal their cell membranes, they're cranking out more cholesterol. That is also a possibility. So without knowing a little more about you, you know, eyeballing you, you know, what's your height and weight? Do you have weight to lose? Could you be doing better on a low-carb diet? It's a little hard to say how precisely to fix this. I mean, supplements that can be helpful. You could take bergamot. That's one of my favorite supplements these days for lowering cholesterol. Also, you could take vitamin K2, which is MK7. This is the type of vitamin K2 that's particularly helpful for protecting the arterial wall from calcification. Fish oil, chiolic aged garlic extract would be part of a regime to protect your arterial wall from the LDL. Resveratrol, curcumin, even green tea, plenty of olive oil, but also you could take olive leaf extract. These are among the things that can be helpful for prevention if you have a high LDLP. So good question, triggered interesting discussion. Bernie Sanders. Let's talk about Bernie Sanders for a minute. Well, he had two stents inserted in order to clear a blockage in an artery. And apparently, he didn't just have heart pain. He actually had a heart attack. He had markers for cardiac damage. So that's what they do these days. When you have a heart attack, they put in stents to improve circulation. Bernie will be fine, but, you know, unfortunately, it casts sort of a pall on his candidacy because he's an older guy. He could be in terrific shape once he has those stents put in. but this is no knock on his viability as a candidate, but unfortunately it may tarnish his image as the oldest candidate in the field chronologically. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.